Patristic Nectar Publications is pleased to present a new installment of 19 podcasts by His Grace Bishop Irenae of Richmond in his popular series, A Word from the Holy Fathers. These short meditations reveal the ancient wisdom of the Church Fathers and apply it to 21st century Christian living. And now, His Grace, Bishop Irenae.
Welcome to a third series of A Word from the Holy Fathers, a series of regular broadcasts reflecting on the lives and the writings of our Holy Fathers in the Orthodox Church and their applicability to our spiritual and practical life in every age, but most especially our own. This is Bishop Irenae. Our series, A Word from the Holy Fathers, began, in fact, several years ago. Series 1 was broadcast on Ancient Faith Radio from the end of 2008 into mid-2009, and then a second series ran from 2012 to 2014. In the intervening years, I've often been asked if there would be more episodes broadcast, but time simply did not permit much in the way of this. However, a few years ago, I did manage to record 20 additional episodes to form the core of a third series. These, however, for various reasons, never actually found themselves on the air. It's with my great gratitude to the St. Cyril and Athanasius Institute for Orthodox Studies and to Patristic Nectar Publications that we are now able to make these 20 episodes, this third series of A Word from the Holy Fathers, available to listeners. And so, almost precisely 10 years on from our first broadcast, I'd like to begin by providing the first in this third series, recorded a few years ago, but now offered for the first time. This episode focuses on the theme of holy repentance, which stands at the heart of our Christian life.
The passage I'd like to share is from our Father Among the Saints, Ioannis Climacos, John of the Ladder, a saint known to most Orthodox Christians through his book, The Ladder to Paradise, sometimes called The Ladder of Divine Ascent, which is customarily read in Orthodox monasteries, and indeed much more widely than that, during the Great and Holy Fast, Great Lent, which leads up to Holy Pascha. During this season of repentance, the Church takes this text from one of its great fathers of repentance and puts it before the eyes of the faithful as a model and an icon. But we can learn from this text at any time of the year, and indeed it's from that very volume, Step 5 of St. John's Ladder to Paradise, written in the 7th century, that I would like to reflect today. St. John writes the following: Repentance is the renewal of baptism. Repentance is a contract with God for a second life. A penitent man is a buyer of humility. Repentance is constant distrust of bodily comfort. Repentance is self-condemning reflection and carefree self-care. Repentance is the daughter of hope and the renunciation of despair. A penitent is an undisgraced convict. Repentance is reconciliation with the Lord by the practice of good deeds contrary to the sins. Repentance is purification of conscience. Repentance is the voluntary endurance of every affliction. A penitent is the inflictor of his own punishments. Repentance is a mighty persecution of the stomach, a shrinking of the soul into vigorous awareness. I consider those fallen mourners more blessed than those who have not fallen and are not mourning over themselves, because as a result of their fall, they have risen by a sure resurrection. Once again, my beloved brothers and sisters, that is from St. John's Ladder to Paradise, the fifth step. What a wonderful mystery our Father among the saints presents repentance and the penitent life to be in this small passage, From its very opening line, repentance is the renewal of baptism, we are given an image of this chief virtue of the Christian life, so very different from that which we often encounter in the weak-willed and little understanding world around us. Repentance, we are so often taught, is simply an act of sorrow, of contrition. It is the state of being sorry for our sins, of feeling guilt, of desiring to be atoned for our wrongs. And yet that is not how the saint presents it here. It's not that these things are not involved in repentance, but the reality of compunction, of contrition, these are but ingredients in a much deeper mix, a much fuller mix, that is repentance understood fully from the heart of the Church. Repentance, the saint says, I repeat again, the renewal of baptism. A penitent man, he says, is a buyer of humility. Repentance is a self-condemning reflection and a carefree self-care. Think on what these words really mean. When we truly enter into repentance, St. John says to us, we do not simply enter into emotions of sorrow, of a broken spirit, though these are good and godly things, and without them real repentance is really not a possibility. Nevertheless, when we enter into the truth, the deep of repentance, we arrive at something far more profound. Baptism, which for most happened in childhood, but for some later in life, in every case is renewed. It comes to life. Real repentance is the entrance of the Christian into the grace of the Spirit, which creates a new life unto Christ. We are born once in the flesh and again in the spirit. And yet every time we genuinely enter into repentance, we experience the renewal of that birth. It is as if Christ again gives new life into the heart of his creature. Repentance is the buying of humility, St. John goes on to say. Of course, we don't want to misunderstand him and think of this as a kind of contractual purchase. What St. John is trying to convey to us who are so weak in our understandings is that humility is something that can be obtained. It is not simply a remote idea, untouchable and unobtainable to the weak Christian person. That which purchases this gift, that which brings it into our life, is nothing other than real repentance. Therefore, if we wish humility, that which abases the heart and opens it to the glory of God, there is a currency, to use St. John's analogy, freely given to each of us, and that is repentance, a currency that requires no worldly wealth, that requires no specific position in society, in the Church, in the world. This currency, which can obtain for us the heights of God's glory, is freely given and accessible to every man. It is nothing other than a repentant heart. The saint goes on to say, repentance is the daughter of hope and the renunciation of despair. What an important message this constitutes for us who so often see and perceive repentance in despairing tones. Repentance has a mournful flavor to it in our hearts, and that's not entirely wrong. St. John, who has written this passage, is of course a man who talks at great length about the beauty of godly mourning. He talks about a sorrow that creates joy. And yet this is not a sorrow that is equated with despair. It is not emotional sadness. The kind of mourning experienced in the repentant heart is the daughter of hope, he says here. It is the renunciation of despair. Genuine compunction, an ingredient in repentance that is so essential, which pricks our conscience with the guilt of our sin and stirs us to action. This is the child not of despair, but of hope. For in the very instant that we feel that godly sorrow for our sin, the pathway to the kingdom of God opens itself to us anew. Repentance, therefore, is a condition of supreme hope and trust in the glory of God. Indeed, so much are we to seek after this repentance, which often comes in the moments of our fall, in the moments of our deepest spiritual struggle, that St. John is able to say, as he does at the close of the passage I've quoted, that they are blessed who have fallen and have learned to mourn in their fall, yea, that they are more blessed than those who have not fallen and therefore are not mourning after themselves. St. John is certainly not suggesting something that has been suggested at various times across the centuries of Christian history, that we need to sin in order to repent, in order to be saved. This is a kind of blasphemy against the goodness of God. God does not require sin in order to save us. And yet we live in a world where we are all sinful. Each one of us is touched by the darkness of the world around us. Each one of us allows it into our hearts, sometimes willingly, sometimes unknowingly. There is not one righteous on this earth, yea, not even one. We have but the example of the Mother of God to propel us towards the attainment of a life free of guilt. And yet, even as we seek to follow her, we recognize, precisely through that following, how sinful we are, how often we fall. And St. John, therefore, is simply observing that those who fall and learn to mourn, learn to repent, have greater blessings in store for them than those who somehow pretend or contrive not to fall, at least not in outward form, and therefore never learn what it means to mourn over our sin. Because those who do fall and learn to mourn, he says, as a result, have risen by a sure resurrection. And it's on this note that I want to draw our reflections to a close, my dear brothers and sisters. When we fall, there is a reason for sorrow. If we lived truly godly lives, we would not fall. But our lives are far from that great ideal, and we do. The question for the Christian is not, how do I keep ever from falling, but what do I do when I have fallen? And St. John's testimony today is that in the depths of our darkness, at the moments when we seem utterly to have failed in the Christian life, something truly blessed can happen. We can find real repentance. We can find, in the mud of our fall, in the dirt of the earth to which we have fallen, a cause for hope. And if we do this, if we repent and arise by God's grace, we experience, even in this life, what St. John calls a sure resurrection. While we await the resurrection on the last day, God provides us every day with these sure resurrections out of sin and into a newness of life. That is the gift of repentance, the daughter of hope, the renunciation of despair, the renewal of our baptismal promise. May we, through the intercessions of this great saint, John of Mount Sinai, the author of the Ladder, find the repentance to which he exhorts us, and like him, struggle diligently towards the kingdom of our God in Holy Trinity.